Coppell's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Welcome to the Worcester Report, a program of stories, Christian devotions, and music. Broadcast on CWCP, Coppell's Western Cape Radio.
South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God. South Africa, turn back to God.
Welcome to our listeners this evening. My name is Tony Coppell. Clane Plassey is a special place, and most people who live here in Worcester know about it and go there from time to time. It's a place to have fun. It's a place to learn. It's a show place for a number of things. I was first introduced to it because I took children from the school where I teach, Masterpiece Academy, to an event where they showed how grapes were processed in order to make wine 100 years ago. And then I took them to another event where they showed how meat was turned into sausages. And I certainly enjoyed just being there. Now, more recently, about 4 months ago, a new venture was kicked off, and it's called the Clane Plassey Art Village. And some people that I know set up stalls there to sell their goods and their wares and to build a business and to be entrepreneurs. And I've been meaning to tell you, our listeners, about it for quite a while. So last week, I went along to Clane Plassey after making an appointment to see Lelani Swart, who is the coordinator. And she and I chatted on the objectives, the vision, and how things are going in the Art Village so far. And then I interviewed a number of other people, as I say, some of them that I knew already, and others that I hadn't known already. And we have several interviews, that, therefore, for you to enjoy and to be attracted, I hope, to go and visit the Clane Plassey Art Village. You may well find things there that you'd like to have amongst your own personal possessions. After the interviews, I will give you information about their Facebook site. So keep listening. I am inside the Country Market at Clane Plassey. That's the new name for it. And part of the Country Market is the new Arts and Crafts Initiative here, with booths and stalls offering lovely gifts and creations. Now, someone who's been here from the start and is the coordinator is Lelani Swart. And I think to her friend, she's Kaya. So, Kaya, I want to become your friend very rapidly. welcome to CWCP Radio.
Thank you so much, Tony.
So let me ask you a little bit of history. Go back to the very start of this initiative. What caused it to happen? What was the vision? What were in people's minds, possibly in your mind, when you thought, hey, let's have an arts and crafts place?
Well, I've been an artist and a crafter for a very long time. And initially I thought to myself, well, you know, there is really a great demand outside there for people to come together and sit together and be able to do their crafts and also be able to sell it. In Worcester, we doesn't have any such facility. So initially I ended up going to the municipality and asked them, is there no way that they would be able to accommodate us? Whereby they actually set me up with Mr. Orton King from Clane Plassey, and then we decided to sit down and negotiate regarding the stalls and the place that they had in store for us here that we could utilize as an arts and craft village.
And so since this is part of the Clane Plassey complex, which is well known in Western Cape, how does this particular initiative fit in with the overall purpose of Clane Plassey?
Okay, Clane Plassey has been known to all the South Africans right across the country as one of our heritage sites. And people used to come and visit here for a very long time, and it was so popular. Whenever I can remember, when I was a little child, when we used to visit the Western Cape, that was one of your main priorities, is to come and visit Klein Plaasie, because of all the stuff they had on here at that time, where you can watch them bake bread in the ovens and the milk tarts and do donkey rides and even maybe test a little bit of the Witblits that they used to make. At that time it wasn't legal, but yeah, we used to, my father and them, they used to taste that. They like to come for that experience, and that all just fell away as our came to understood, as that most of the businesses were actually, they were the main investors. You see, especially for the bread, when they did the breads, some of the investors, some of the big businesses would sponsor the bread department. Some of them would sponsor the Witblits department. Some of them would sponsor the donkey rides. And initially, when Klein Plaasie started sort of to go from good to bad, I don't know actually how to say that, but it wasn't Klein Plaasie anymore like it used to be. And things just like didn't do well here. So all the businesses pour out. So now the finance weren't there anymore. So they had to make a plan, and they decided to see if they can't revive Klein Plaasie again. And that's where all of us come together. So when we came to the municipality to ask them if there's no place that we can maybe do our arts and crafts, or a place where they can accommodate us for the arts and crafts, they immediately said, well, we've got a place now, and I think it will be great for Klein Plaasie as well as for the community and for Worcester if we can have the arts and crafts here, seeing that it's on the R60 road to Robertson, and it's part of the tourist routes, and it's also the beginning of the R62 art route. So this is excellent. It's an excellent opportunity, excellent situation, and especially for tourists as well.
Now, you are an artist. You're a visual artist. I saw some of your work over there.
Yes, yeah.
And do you still have time to paint?
Not really. I'm a tutor as well, and but I try to work in my time in you know, like in betweens, especially when it's quieter during the afternoons, and especially on Saturdays, because we open on Saturdays as well. Yeah. So Saturdays I don't have classes. So Saturdays I set aside for myself if there's no workshops running, because we do workshops as well.
Yeah. So do you run a stall as well as being the coordinator? Do you have your own commercial stall?
Yeah, I'm the coordinator that was agreed by when I came to see Mr. Orton King, as I was one of the pioneers that came up with the idea for the arts and craft. So it was just, okay, I will take the initiative and I will try and run with this as far as possible. You know, when that's your passion, you just go out and you just do it. So, yeah, then I just set aside some of the time for myself. You don't think about yourself for now. You just think about arts and craft and getting this thing up and running. So, yeah, definitely.
So, Kaya, I briefly saw your stall and some of your merchandise. Tell us more about what do you have available right now?
Well, right now I do have paintings. Paintings is always my best seller at this stage. Apart from the paint itself, I sell oil paints, and I like the Lucas brand. That is the best for South African climate. And I also sell acrylic paintings, which I use Dala and then also Lucas. Dala more for the students, and then the Lucas more for the professional side. I'm a very big fan of Granny B chalk paint, because I do workshop in crafts as well, and we paint furniture and do lots of crafts, especially for Christmas coming up. We've got gifts ideas, and we even do workshops with ladies' birthday parties, kiddies' parties, all of that.
It sounds very comprehensive. I mean, you're competing with the art supplies retail stores, and it's a lot more fun here.
Yeah, well, I'm not as big as the retail stores out there, but I try my best to be able to, especially when a student comes for a class, to be able to provide them with the necessary stuff that they need to start with, especially like brushes and the basic paints. because it's very frustrated if they come here and they don't have all the stuff to start with, and now I must send them away. So I try to keep the basic stuff here to be able to accommodate the students.
So you've been here for how long? 6 months now? Or?
Yeah, we've been here since the beginning of April, so it's not really 6 months, it's more like 4 or 5 months already now.
And how would you say things are going so far?
It's going well. We are still looking for more potential stall people that can come in for stalls to fill up the spaces here. We are desperate to see people come to Klein Plaas and come visit us and to have a look at the place here, because there is really potential here. If you take in consideration with the rent that you pay in town, and it's not that far out, and it's so nice, the atmosphere here, to come and have a farm atmosphere where you can relax, you can even hear the donkeys, and you can even ride horses here if you would like to take a break from a painting lesson or whatever, if it's, yeah. But there's lots of clothes, people selling clothes here. We have people selling antique shops. We have where they do all sorts of crafts, and I've even got a lady that makes the most beautiful mobiles. People love that. So all the ladies out there must come and have a look, and they will really enjoy it here.
What sort of plans do you have for publicizing this?
Okay, we use Facebook. Facebook is the best one, the best social media at the moment. We've got a website. Klein Plaas has got their own one. Klein Plaas is Facebook page. You're more than welcome to go like the Facebook page. We would love you to go visit and see all the events coming up. We've got big events coming up. We've got the Brannas and Kip Kip Fears with people from musician Snortkop that's also coming. We've got the bikers coming in August, September. There's lots of events coming. And then we are looking at a Christmas market where we're going to have different stalls in here with a huge Christmas tree where people can just come and put their gifts and whatever. And we also would like to end it off then with a carols by candlelight to make it nice and, you know, with the festive season.
Well, you know, I want to go and see if I can talk to some of the people who are running stalls here this afternoon. I'll see if I can find some, if they're not off for their lunch break.
And you're more than welcome.
And I thank you so much, Kaya, for introducing us to this exciting initiative. And it's art-based, and I also get the feeling that it's to the glory of God.
It is, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. He's always been my inspiration and the reason why I started the arts and crafts. And we do believe that Klein Plaas was part of the Lord's plan for us, for Worcester. I really hope and I trust in the Lord that this is His grounds and He's going to fill it with His glory.
Well, in that case, it can't possibly fail.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Tony.
So the first stall that I went to is Creators Co-op, and by an interesting coincidence, I know the two partners who are running this stall, and by another coincidence, they've both been on CWCP radio before. We have Tendai, and we have Heather. So Tendai, why don't you start and tell our listeners what you're selling at your stall, Creative Co-op.
All right. Hello, Tony. Hello, listeners. Thank you for having me. Well, at the Creators Co-op store, I am selling household furniture and decor items that I make from recycling or repurposing disused objects. So, for example, a bottle that is discarded, that is thrown away, an old wine bottle, I work on it. I convert it into a lamp or a vase. Old furniture wood, I can work on it. Maybe it used to be a door. I repurpose it into a table, a coffee table, or a bookshelf. That's pretty much the idea of my kind of product, recycling and repurposing.
And you're using your skill in metallurgy, I suspect, to do this.
Yes, my skill in metallurgy, especially the knowledge of materials, because most of these materials, you have to understand them and their properties so that you can make them into something still useful.
Now, Tendai is from Zimbabwe. Would you like to make any comment on the election?
Not at the moment.
All right, because nobody knows exactly what's happening. But we pray for a calm, don't we, at this time.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Tony.
Now, talking to Heather, you're part of this business enterprise. What are you offering to the public that is hungry to buy good stuff? What are you offering them?
Well, I started off with knitting shawls, but that's really just for winter. It's called a Linus shawl. And then with my business, I had to start from scratch because I haven't had a job for a while, so I've really had to start from scratch. And one day, a friend of mine came to visit me and told me about that we can source old jeans for 10 rand or 20 rand. And so Gisela and Tendai and I went to a shop and we found jeans for 10 rand each. And so we bought a pile of jeans, and now we are making jean bags and journal bags, all from rags to bags, and cell bags. So that's what I'm busy doing at the moment.
Now, if somebody's listening who is artistic in their heart and they'd like to do business, they'd like to get involved in business and monetize their talent, would you recommend that they come here and join the people who are already here with the stalls? Would you think it would be good for them?
Yes, I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I did a small business startup course, and this has been at the end of the day, when I do a course, I put it into practice. So this is really, for me, my practice round. So yes, if you have the heart, if you make something, if you're at home and you're just making something and you need a outlet, yes, it's a good place to come.
Is it a standard rent for every booth here? Can you give us an idea of how much it costs to rent a booth?
Well, the contract at the moment is being renegotiated, but the way it works is that there's a standard rate for a square meter. So depending on how much space your business requires, you will attract a certain rental space calculated according to the standard rate.
Can you give us a rough idea of what it might be for a typical booth?
Currently, a typical booth goes for 500 rands for a month. Yeah, and that's inclusive of electricity and all the other services that are here, water. Mm-hmm. Currently, they're working on providing Wi-Fi, and that might be an extra, let's say, 50 rand or something close to that.
Mm. Well, thank you very much, Tendai and Heather. Nice to see you again on the radio. I get to see you. The other people just get to hear you. May I wish you every success with your business. May you become millionaires. May take a while.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
And now I've come to see Gisela Wulschlegen, who has another stall here at Klein Plassey. Gisela, what's the name of your stall or your company?
We're calling it Worcester Antiques and Collectibles.
That sounds intriguing. So tell me what kind of antique or collectible I might find if I was wandering around looking.
We've got quite a selection of old crockery and little household items that date back to the 1930s or 1940s. Mostly things that came out of my grandmother's cupboard, strangely enough. But we've looked up some of these things on the internet and seen that there is a demand for them. So we're selling on the internet as well as here. And what the stall is it's an opportunity for us to put these things on display and to let people have conversations with us about their old stuff, which is happening quite frequently. And I'm not averse to taking other people's old things and adding them to the stall. So my bric-a-brac section has expanded quite substantially and is quite popular, We're selling little things for 5 rand, 2 rand, 10 rand, 20 rand, things that people can afford, baking dishes, glassware, cups and saucers, you name it. We've also got a little bit of interesting and good quality old clothing, which we're hoping to expand on. And we've got some furniture. So the furniture is, I have quite a few ball and claw items, but it seems that the old woods, oak, emboya, those kind of things are quite popular. And so we've got a few of those on display. And recently a gentleman brought me a few doors that have been nicely sanded down and cleaned up, and they're actually quite worth looking at.
It sounds to me as if you're having a lot of fun.
It is rather fun. If you have been growing up with parents who seem to not throw anything away, this collection can become quite cumbersome to a person who likes to live out of a backpack. But on the other hand, I've always enjoyed looking into history and thinking about what people valued in the past and what they might value in the future. So sometimes we find trends in these things, and, you know, fashions and designs make circles in our minds, that sort of thing.
So is it just you, or do you have somebody else working with you?
It's mainly me. I draw on the muscle power of a few people every now and then. And then because I can't be there present all the time, the Creators Co-op is helping me to sell my items when I'm absent. Otherwise, I'm available on my cell phone and WhatsApp and on the internet.
Now, let's widen the question to, do you have a feel or a vision or whatever for the whole operation, not just your part of it, but the whole thing? How would you like to see it developing and becoming even more important in Worcester society?
The Clanplassy location, that piece of land, is critically important to our town. It always had a big role to play in the culture of the town. And I think as Worcester's cultural attitude transforms, we're going to see something different happen there. It's going to take time because there are quite a few blocks in people's perceptions of what that place could be. But our role in that shed and making it into a shopping zone, which is different, I think is important in terms of not only tourism, but also in terms of people in Worcester meeting each other in a marketplace that is free and open, and you don't have to wear fancy clothes to go to the mall or have 500 rand to spend at the mall. You can just come along, have a cup of tea, see friends, walk around, enjoy yourself, look at the animals and get into the fresh air. So I think Clanplassy holds a tremendous amount of promise. But at the moment, we're still very quiet. And what I'd like to see in the immediate future is people contacting us and saying, can we add to what you're doing, or can we come and be part of this? Bearing in mind that it's a place where you can set up your small workshop, do your work, and then hopefully sell your items as well.
What kind of social media are you using?
At the moment, we've got a Facebook page, but it's too little. I think we need to get more proactive. So I'm thinking of networking with other shops that supply the same things to the public to find out if there's demand for something that I've got that they might want to be able to sell for me. So yes, expanding the network in Worcester to shops in the high street and also in the other areas is important, and then into Cape Town. So that lies ahead for the next 6 months or so. We'll be doing that.
And my last question, you're probably not the right person to ask this question, but when are we going to see a nice big sign on the building so that people can see it from a long way off?
Yes, I'm not the right person to ask. Because they've asked Coca-Cola to do this, and the excuse is that sales are down. So I'm very happy about that, and I don't want that sign. I'm the wrong person to ask. In fact, what the management of Clanplassy have done is they've said we can paint our names and our business information on the Vibracrete wall as you drive in. And today, they actually dug out the grass to make a straight path to the entrance of the Art and Craft Village. So we've become more and more visible. And I think we made a sort of a little sign out of an old door with hand painted words, and it's rather cute. So we'll stick with us being cute, and hopefully, you know, somebody else will come along with a good idea, and then things will start becoming much more visible. Yeah, that path's going to make a big difference, because before it didn't look like there was anything happening.
I'd like to thank you very much, Gisela. And in case anyone who's listening thinks they've heard the name Wulfschlegen before, well, you have, because her husband Nick did an interview with us, a couple of months ago now. And if you want to know anything about Worcester politics and society, then you should go back and listen to that on our podcast. Thank you, Gisela.
You're welcome, Tony.
And now I'd like to introduce you to Marianne. She has her stall here in the Arts and Crafts. Marianne, welcome to CWCP Radio. Tell us what you're selling, what you're offering to people who come in.
We're selling mosaic stuff. We're making mosaic and other stuff like table runners and table mats. We're selling that stuff.
When you say mosaic, that's art made of mosaic?
Yes.
Do you actually create these pieces of art?
Yes, we've created the pieces of art with glasses.
Hmm. So these are the kind of things I might like to buy for a present for somebody.
Yes, for somebody. Yes. You can buy a present with those. We're selling creases and hearts, and we do all kind of stuff with a mosaic.
Does your booth have a name?
This is House of Mercies.
House of
Mercy.
Of Mercy.
Yes, we under that name, by the woman of Daphne.
Yes.
Oliphant.
Mm-hmm. What else would you like to tell people about your business?
It's very. I didn't know I could make such a kind of stuff. So she come on my way, and the Lord sent her to Avian Park when the violence was on there. I didn't have work, so she come on my way. So I come here to a place, and we work from the place, and said the people said we can come to Clean Plaza, so that's why we're here at Clean Plaza, and I'm very excited to work here because I didn't have work. Now we also learn young people up to what doing nothing with their hands, they can learn to do something with their hands. I didn't know I could do some that kind of stuff with my hands, so I enjoy it very much.
You sound like a happy lady.
Yes, I'm very happy to be here.
How do you get here every day? Do you walk from Avian Park?
Yes, we walk, but now she did a car, but this morning the car collapsed, so we must walk from Avian Park. And sometimes when you have money, and you take a taxi to here.
Yeah. How long are you here each day? From what time to what time?
It's from 9 o'clock till 5 o'clock, but I work from 9 to 4, so sometimes when I walk, I get early to walk home.
Are you in business on your own, or do you have a partner?
I have a partner, Daphne.
Who's that?
Daphne Oliphant.
Uh-huh.
This is her project. She's working, so she learned us to do stuff.
Well, I'd like to wish the House of Mercy every success.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marianne.
Okay.
Thank you. And now I'm talking to Brenda DeVette. Brenda, what's the name of your stall, your business?
Pieces of Me.
Pieces of Me?
Yes.
That sounds intriguing.
Yes, I hope so.
What kind of pieces are we talking about?
It's mobiles, hanging mobiles, and it's very exciting, and you can do a lot with it, you know. Beautiful stuff, very fragile ones, and then there's the ones that's more rustic, and yes, it's very exciting. And I love doing it. It takes time, but in the end, it's worth it.
Do you make all the mobiles yourself?
Yes, I make it all myself, and that's what's so time-consuming. It takes a lot of time, because each and every one, each string I really try to make it good, very good. I try to make it special. So, yes, I love it. And I didn't have actually stock when we came in here. So when I sell something, I'm glad, but then there's this gaping hole on my frame there, but and then I'm a little bit nervous because I have to make some more and it takes time, but I love it and I love coming here. It's the farm, it's like a farm environment, and it's marvelous. I really enjoy it.
I get the feeling that all the people here in this warehouse, yes, are friends together.
Yes, friends in Christ. Yes. And that is the most wonderful thing, you know. I just yesterday I thought about it and I thought, wow, there must be a plan in this, you know. There must be a bigger plan, because sometimes when a door closes, we as people who want to have an intimate relationship with God, we know that there's something better that is going to come. So yes, it's it don't rattle us. You know, when you have your strength in God, it is just amazing, because you know He has a bigger plan. You don't see it yet then, but we just take it as it comes.
You know, I want to come over to your stall again and and take some pictures.
Yes, you can.
I thank you so much for talking to us.
Oh, thank you, Tony. It was very nice.
So thank you, Brenda DeVette, and all the other kind people that I spoke to and really enjoyed talking to on my visit to Klein Plassey. If you want to check them out online, then their Facebook page is called Klein Plassey Art Village. And from that page, particularly on related pages, you'll find links to Kaya's art studio and gallery, to Anaglow, and the Creators Co-op. And there are others there as well. So check them out and go visit them and meet these lovely people and buy some of their lovely merchandise.
Koppel's Western Cape Radio, CWCP, broadcasting from Worcester, South Africa.
Tony and I are Canadian missionaries in South Africa. We have learned through our African friends in different countries how to slow down and be relational. This is something all of us in fast-paced countries need to learn. So come along with me and we'll learn together on the adventures of growing in God. Growing in God through the desert. My name is Laurianne and I'm a missionary. During my mission travels, I've ministered with people in Northern Ireland, Pakistan, Canada, and the USA. I've also ministered in African countries like Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Mozambique, South Africa, and Botswana. But at this time, we live in the beautiful Western Cape of South Africa. During our last broadcast, we discovered that our faith grows well when we discover special places where we can encounter God as easily as taking a breath. Many Anglicans love Canterbury, others go on pilgrimage to Jerusalem or other places with a Christian history, like Lindisfarne or Iona. Still others walk the Camino de Compostela in northern Spain. We also have our own experiences, yet somehow they are rooted and shaped by the wider church. Now, O weary pilgrim, our faith is given depth as we grow character through the desert. Often we have a honeymoon period when we first discover Jesus Christ and the love of God for ourselves. We experience the intimacy and love of the Father, the fellowship of Jesus, and the sweet wooing of the Holy Spirit. He feels like you're in love. You are in love. But then later on, you might enter a period of God's silence that seems to go on forever. It also seems like a wilderness that can stretch your trust. Is it a time of punishment or a test? Is it abandonment or preparation for something wonderful in store for us? Is it God's judgment or His infinite kindness that helps us grow spiritually mature? Is He in fact carrying us, like the example in the famous Footprints poem? We don't sense Him, but we know He is there. These times of difficulty have been compared to the dark night of the soul. But since God does not actually leave us, we grow deeper in trusting Him. During this process, we are refined of hindrances. We also gain the fragrance of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, provided that we keep a good attitude and our trust in God. While we may complain to God in psalming and prayer, it's not good that we go on and on in complaint. When I came to faith, one of the cries of my heart became a deep desire for spiritual maturity. When I was a young Christian, I was newly baptized in the Holy Spirit. I was so enthusiastic that I embarrassed older believers. Due to this embarrassment, I begged the Lord for maturity. At the time, I had experienced healing, love, and empowerment. And from there, I tried to break through an unapproachable more. Now I know that we should always be more hungry for God. Yet at this time, I almost felt like there was a glass ceiling over my attempts to press in for more. Eventually, my prayer was answered when I was in Northern Ireland doing prayer walks. A hostess in Belfast gave me an unexpected prophetic word. She asked me if I had been seeking God to take me deeper into maturity. I answered, yes. She told me that it would not be easy and that it required something that I did not expect. This requirement was suffering, not as a punishment, but as the necessary instrument to bring me past the shallowness I'd been feeling even as a Christian. God's relative silence then actually intensified as I entered the desert of finding Him in a new way. I began to learn the identification with Christ that Paul talks about in Philippians 3, verse 10. I had to no longer live as if I was in control of my life, but to allow for a Christ-centered life. I was learning to know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings, as well as the joy of salvation. No longer did the Holy Spirit seem to speak loudly, but instead He spoke in a soft whisper. Or sometimes He spoke loudly through the silence. That desert lasted over 9 years. Since then, I've had other times of refining in other ways. But during this initial desert experience, I audited a course called Into the Wasteland, taught by Charles Nienkerken at Toronto's Tyndale Seminary. It was then that I learned that not only are desert experiences common, but they're also biblical. The desert is God's gift that demands transformation. Isn't that what becoming holy is all about? God has written two books. The first book is creation, as mentioned in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. King David wrote, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make Him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world." The stars, nebula, and other phenomena actually send out radio signals, which if collect and played together, sound like music. The second book is God's revelation in the Bible. Both creation and the Bible show an abundance of desert imagery. The world has an abundance of deserts. The biblical lands are mostly desert or semi-desert. I've been in deserts personally, some in southwest United States, others in the Okanagan Valley in Canada's British Columbia. Northern Kenya and Pakistan were also full of dry deserts. I found the Argentinian Patagonia breathtaking. They also have a strong wind that could easily rival South Africa's Cape Doctor. I've also now traveled in both the Little Karoo and the Great Karoo here in South Africa. Yet these are only a small number of actual deserts in the world. Some deserts are in high plains, others in valleys. Some are in the high Arctic, others are in very hot places. But they all have one thing in common, the lack of potable water. When you have very little water, you need to be creative for survival. Many biblical characters have encountered difficult desert times. The Israelites in the book of Numbers wandered for years in the desert. They turned what could have been a journey of a month or less into one that took 40 years. Most of them did not learn in their desert season, and so they died there. The prophet Elijah took shelter in the desert wilderness when he was in danger from Queen Jezebel in 1 Kings 19. David took refuge in the wild places while hiding from King Saul in 2 Samuel 1. The most famous desert season was Jesus' own 40-day fast in the Judean wilderness, as shown in Matthew chapter 4. These were physical outer deserts. There is also the inner desert. These are the deserts that we encounter inside our hearts. They involve solitude, withdrawal, and seeming abandonment. such as the testing of Job and Jesus' experience in Gethsemane and the cross. Desert experiences have also empowered and left God's servants changed from divine encounters, such as the experiences of many in the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul also experienced the beginning of his transformation while he traveled the desert road to Damascus. His conversion was further strengthened during a 3-year duration in the Arabian desert, which was mentioned in Galatians 1, verses 17 and 18. In the 4th century, Antony gave away all his possessions and depended on God in the Egyptian desert. Many Christians desiring something more also followed a similar call. Some lived in solitude or wandered the oceans as missionaries. The Irish missionary monks did this in the 6th to the 10th centuries. Others were transformed during their extended illnesses while waiting for a miracle. So why are we surprised when we enter our own wilderness? Perhaps part of the reason we are surprised to encounter a wilderness is due to our Western materialistic culture. It sees simplicity and suffering as weakness. Even in many churches, mountain experiences can be glorified and the grief of varied suffering is minimized. We want comfort in the midst of suffering. Our one-dimensional ideas of God and all-encompassing self-experience are challenged. Then we see that we saw the world through shallow, narrow perception filters. In other words, self-focused, blurry mirrors that have no real connection with reality. My Anglican priest, John Bridges, often says that most of life is lived in the valley, not the mountaintop. Now that I live in a valley surrounded by mountains, I can see it would be a challenge to live on the mountain, but it is amazing to visit. Meanwhile, the desert calls us to transformation. While we are there, we have a choice to make. We can turn to self-pity and bitterness during challenges, or we can call out to the Lord for purification. We can turn around the circumstances into something with purpose. Which would you choose? I'd far prefer the purification and become a better Lorianne. How does the desert make us more like Jesus? My professor Charles Nienkerken says that the humbling effect of the desert becomes a transforming event in one's spiritual development only as one's idea of God and self-image are changed. In the process, one's faith, hope, and love are purified. You begin to see differently and develop a longer, clearer vision of life. Just like you may get a longer view of the Little Karoo when standing on top of the Swartberg Pass, you get a clearer sense of who you are when all the distractions are not at hand. The desert helps clear our senses of wrong illusions of who God is, but also who we are. However, this can be a long process. Sometimes we struggle with faulty perceptions of God as a judge or an angry parent. Other times we may struggle with self-condemnation, poor self-image, vanity, or pride. When these perceptions begin to melt away, the truth can be more easily seen. God is no longer who you thought he was. He never was those faulty images. So now that you're free of the lie, God is now free to show you who he really is. And you are no longer who you thought you were. You are loved and accepted. God is allowed to be God, since you realize that you are not your own God. The desert can give us 4 gifts. If we cooperate with God's purposes, these 4 gifts are spiritual transformation, psychological change, new roles, and new futures. The first gift can include coming to faith in Jesus and the refining that comes later. If you've ever read Hannah Hernard's book, High Feet in High Places, you may have identified with the character Much Afraid. We struggle through a lot of fears, but through the process of perfect love, the fear is winnowed out of us. No one enjoys fears, but the process of trusting and letting go of them allows the love to transform us. We are wooed in the desert. The character Much Afraid was spiritually transformed by the love of the shepherd. She turned all her lessons and trials into glittering gems. This transformation is a difficult but very rewarding journey. The second gift of psychological change can give you a new confident humility. This gift cultivates what the Apostle Paul calls being content in all situations. He mentions that he has learned this deep trust in Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. This is a difficult gift to nurture, for it demands a trust in God that puts him at the center of one's environment. This is the desert gift that took me years to accept. He has taught me to trust him in all circumstances, even when he seems silent and I begin to doubt my calling. It's a lesson that I've learned deeper and deeper over the past 15 years, through difficulties on mission trips, closed doors in careers, cross-country moves, and living by faith. Even now, Holy Spirit leads me through Scripture by creative nudges, dreams, and still small whispers. It's all about trusting Him. A good analogy for learning how to be guided when you cannot see the process is shown in how a poinsettia grows. Apparently, these beautiful flowers require a time of darkness so they can germinate. I believe we also need a barren time for essential spiritual growth in faith, hope, and love. We still experience God's care and provision in the desert, even when He is silent. It's just that we may not yet perceive this with the eyes of our hearts. This time can be likened to being hidden in God, like Colossians 3 verse 3, where you are hidden in Christ. Yet the Apostle Paul encourages us to keep our minds set on things above. That perspective gives us deeper grounding. A further analogy of psychological change is shown through the flower unique to the Western Cape. This is the fire lily. I recently learned through a debriefing coach that these flowers are germinated in the intense summer fires that we see all over the countryside. I remember my horror on seeing a few of them last summer near Botrivière, Villiersdorp, and Montague. I saw evidence of fires on both the De Hoortskloof and Beenskloof passes, yet in the ashes comes the fire lily, an incredibly beautiful flower that symbolizes beauty that comes after tragedy. Even the hardest times can be redeemed. The third gift of new roles can include identity change, as experienced by Abram, who becomes Abraham. Other examples include Jacob becoming Israel, Simon becoming the Apostle Peter, and Saul becoming the Apostle Paul. In the ancient world, a name change signified a complete metamorphosis in a person and their role. In Genesis 17, verse 5, Abram changed from a childless man to the father of many nations. In Genesis 35, verse 10, Jacob changed from a deceiver to Israel, one who wrestles with God. Sanguine Simon became Peter the Rock, one of the leaders of the early church. Law-loving Saul of Tarsus became apostle to the Gentiles and switched from his Jewish name to his legal Roman name, Paul, in Acts 13, verse 9. My own name, Lorianne, means victory through grace, remember. I was often bullied as a child and had to move neighborhoods because of the harassment. When I moved, I changed my name by dropping the second half of my double name, which is Anne. Anne is a derivative of Hannah, which means grace. After I changed my name, I also tried to change my identity and became a people-pleasing striver. Performance-oriented striving is the very opposite of grace. At that time, my name became Lori Zakhar, which means victory, remember. Years after I became a Christian, I was convicted that I never should have changed my name. I received some much-needed prayer ministry and then changed my name back to Lorianne. Of course, I never legally changed my name. It was an informal change. Many people still call me either Lori or Anne since they don't understand the purpose of double names. However, my full first name gives me the reminder of grace every time someone calls me by my real name. My name is a sermon lesson. It shows me that it is God's grace that is victorious. It is not anything that I can do on my own. After all, it is in the desert that I have learned the lesson that my identity is a child of God. Apart from Him, I can do nothing that lasts. John 15, verse 5 reminds me of the importance of spending time abiding with Jesus. When I added my married name to the mix, it came out as Victory Through Grace, Remember to Persevere. Ah, the difference of perseverance in the identity change. The fourth desert gift is new futures. This concerns our calling. Our calling can involve great miracles or a quiet life of faith that draws others to Jesus. Either one involves hope and making a difference. We can know that where we're going is a place of purpose. It may take time to determine what we are called to specifically. It took me years to come to South Africa, but there was a process to come here. And my life isn't finished yet. There may be years to come loving on children, inmates, teaching, doing radio and art, plus doing so much more. I feel satisfied in making a difference and seeing what Jesus is doing in the lives of the people I've come to know and love. Now, if you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are also called. Everyone who is God's child in the wonderful body of Christ has a role to play. We are vitally important to each other. Don't expect just those in leadership to do all the ministry. We all minister to each other. Are you willing to be changed for the better? Do you want to grow further in God? Then at some time in your journey, the desert is the place for you, as it has been for me. Don't be afraid. It is a road that many have followed. You are never alone. Just remember that He will never leave you. Jesus does not forget His promises. We discover in the desert just how faithful God really is. Lord, I ask You to help my friends who are listening. Touch their hearts. If they are ready to journey with You in the desert, then prepare them for the journey. Give them joy as they allow themselves to be transformed. You love them as they are, but love them too much to leave them that way. I thank You for Your faithfulness that You've always shown to me. And I ask that You show Yourself faithful to them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, my friends, and tune in again for Ways to Grow in God on Koppel's Western Cape Radio.
After the destruction, in the wake of every storm, the sun reveals the suffering, and all I've known is gone. Well, I can take the rising waves, but when I'm washed up on the shore, feeling just like driftwood, and nothing makes sense anymore. Jesus, meet me. Be everything I need. In the
Jenny Simon there with The Becoming, illustrating Lorianne's Through the Desert study. The last 10 days have seen a music camp for township children presented by Teachers of the Nations here in Worcester. You can find pictures and videos on recent posts on Couples in Western Cape Facebook. And two of the music camp teachers, Craig and Krista McLaughlin, are from Canada. Yeah. And they joined us for our regular Wednesday afternoon kids club in Riverview. Daniel Mendes from YWAM was there with his violin, and Craig had brought his trumpet. Here's some of the praise music the little band played for the little children, five of whom had been on stage for the music camp concert last Saturday.
Yes.
It is. Okay, just keep it going.
Lorianne and I are now regular every Saturday morning in Brownfly Corrections Institute, and we're running the Alpha Course. Last Saturday, I taught them a song that I had first played in Ottawa Carlton Detention Center called The Cross. Now, the words of this song were written by an inmate there in Ottawa, and I'd added the music. And it's a particularly poignant picture from the point of view of being an inmate in a jail and discovering that there's a better way. I introduced it to the men here by saying that it had been recorded, and I wasn't lying. It has been recorded. Here's the recording that I made with the help of my son James. And James, by the way, you'll hear his voice every time we do this program, because he's the one that gives the announcements of the name of the program and so on, says that it's from South Africa. And he's a very good sound producer. Here's what he did with the song. After this, we'll switch to our regular run out of half an hour of soaking music from Bethel Without Words. It's been great being with you today. Hope you've enjoyed the program. God bless you all. Listen in again next week.
Traveling along a lonely road with a bottle by my side. So sad and troubled, a heavy load, since all my love had died. I was so lonesome with my thoughts, when all hope was gone. But when I saw him on that cross, I knew I was not alone. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me. Coming back from that lonely road with him by
I threw that bottle and heavy load, and now I walk with pride in sorting out my lonesome thoughts and troubles on my own. I can think clearly now because I'm not alone. I love him so. I love him so. I love him so. I love him. If you have a real bad time and think all hope is lost, don't take it all alone. Look upon that cross. He will help you with open arms if you let him in your heart. All your troubles will turn to charm, and you'll get a brand new start. He loves you so. He loves you so. He loves you so. He loves us all. He loves us all.